150 years ago, you didn't have to ask permission from the government to go fishing, own a property, build on your property, renovate your home, use a transportation vehicle, start a business, get married, own a weapon, hunt, cut hair, sell a product, protest, grow your own food, sell that food that you grew on your own property, or even just set up a lemonade stand. And now you virtually can't do anything without asking for the government's permission first. So if you still think you're free, you're deluding yourself.
This is an interesting face. The nanny state has taken complete control of everybody's lives. You just can't do anything anymore. Everything is illegal. And they're working hard to improve that and make more things illegal, of course. Lead us into this new world order dystopia that they want to lead us into, which is just completely dystopian, as I said. Just ridiculous stuff. But they're working really hard at it, folks, trying to get it done by any means possible. All the electric vehicles and all the shit they want to do. And people were saying, well, I'm just not going to buy an electric vehicle. Well, they're getting around that as well, folks, by actually talking about, if they haven't already done it, they're talking about banning any repair to vehicles over 15 years old. So if you happen to have an old car, something goes wrong with the motor, you take it into the mechanic is banned from repairing it. So you have to buy a new car. Pity if you can't afford one. That's the way they're going to do it, folks. If you can't afford one, I guess you can use their new electric transport that they're going to put everywhere. This is the sort of shit they do, folks. They just ban everything about normal life and say that if you want to participate in normal life, you're destroying the environment. It's just nuts, folks. But that's the way they play it. And they've always got little tricks up their sleeves, and it's because people believe authority is real. People believe that whatever the government tells them, they actually have to do. So when they ban things, people just go, oh, gee, it's banned now. I guess I have to do that. Well, no, you don't. What you can do is question the validity of your politicians. Like I said, they're all invalid. They've all invalidated themselves through the lies they told, through the COVID scam, through the genocide of Gaza, everything that's going on, their support for the genocide of Gaza, which is just still ongoing and out of control. 5 months now they've been doing this shit, folks. Unbelievable stuff. But yeah, they just ban everything, you know, the nanny state will look after you. And it's getting ridiculous. The other day, a couple of days ago in Sydney, Australia, there was a Taylor Swift concert. Taylor Swift, I've never even listened to one song. I couldn't tell you one of her songs. I don't know anything about this woman. But there was a Taylor Swift concert happening in Sydney, Australia. And suddenly they stopped the concert and evacuated everybody because there was a lightning strike 10 kilometres away. Like, oh my God, lightning 10 kilometres away. You need to abandon the concert. It's just incredible how they get away with this shit, folks. Nanny state on steroids. Incredible. Back at the Secret Garden, folks, post Anacapulco, the cleanup is still going on. And it's looking good, this place. It was an awesome conference this year too, folks. It really was an awesome conference. And like I said last week, I recommend you get the replay and check it out. There was a lot of good speakers this year. Such a high vibe crowd. Really good. Nobody got sick this year. A lot of people were sick last year. I think they were spraying us. I was incredibly sick last year with the bar I was running and all that sort of stuff. The new bar is doing pretty well as well. As I said, I've gone into this with four other people. And it's kind of their bar. It's just sort of mine in name. But it's their bar, and it's doing really well, and it's costing virtually nothing to do. I had someone post on my video, I heard you spent $30,000 on a new bar, Max. No, we're renting a place. It's actually costing me about $250 a month to run this bar, which is certainly a lot better than spending $30,000 on a bar, as if I had $30,000 to spend on a bar. But it's been going really well. It's been a great meeting place for people. And I think we're going to be able to keep it going through the off-season. It's going to be good, folks. I'm kind of enjoying things here in Mexico. I'll do a walk and talk through the bar soon and show you some of the murals that have been put up on the wall. The lady who does the murals, Anya, is a supremely talented artist, and she's done some great murals, and she's going to be doing a few more. So I'll have to show them to you as well. But yeah, the world's just continuing into dystopia, folks. A ban on fixing cars. Speaking of bans, I've also been banned now on MeWe and on Getter. There's a G-E-T-T-R. They've both terminated my accounts there. Perhaps they didn't like the last video that I put out. Perhaps they were annoyed by the thumbnail. It was actually censored on Rumble as well. If you go to my Rumble channel, you won't find that video displayed on my Rumble channel. It's there, but it's shadow banned. You can't see it displayed on the channel. The only people who got to watch it were those people who went to the link that I provided them in the newsletter. I do send out a newsletter whenever I release a new video, and those people who clicked that link obviously were the ones who saw it. It's had about like 600 views or 630 views or something on Rumble, and nobody else knows it's there. Interesting stuff. Of course, I posted it on BitChute, but I see my numbers drop on BitChute, like, frequently. I can go to BitChute, I can look at the video count, the view count, and then refresh the page, and it'll be dropped by 100 or dropped by 200. And this happens all day, so I've got no idea or no way of really knowing what the true view count is on my videos on BitChute. If you're watching this, Ray, maybe you could look into that a little bit. There's something there that is messing with the view count on my videos, probably not just mine, but other videos of relevance as well. I really don't want this information getting out to people, folks. It's remarkable the links they go to, but there's algorithms obviously in place that I don't think are part of BitChute that are deleting the view count and changing the view count. And this used to happen on YouTube as well. It happens all over the place, folks. They ban me everywhere. A lot of information coming out, though. A lot of stuff going on. The numbers of people dying from the jab are just really escalating. Even Russell Brand, I think, did a video the other day where he was talking about how the jab numbers, the deaths are just skyrocketing, as we knew they would. We knew it would take between 1 to 5 years, and it's been nearly 4 years now they've been running this pandemic. Like, it started in, March 2020, and now we're in almost March 2024. Unbelievable how they've managed to keep this going, this mass formation. It's really an effective tool, and it's just ridiculous looking at the world, what it was in 2019 and what it is now. You know, 2 weeks to flatten the curve, and we've got wars, we've got transgenderism, encouraging children to cut their penises off. Of course, if you say there are only two genders now, you can be fined in certain places. That's when a doctor came forth and he said transgenderism is a mental disorder, and he got completely canned for it, and it's completely true, that's what it is. And this is all from 2 weeks to flatten the curve. They've literally reshaped the entire world over the last 4 years, and it's just getting more and more dystopian, moving you into this smart grid, wanting to have digital IDs and put everything in one spot. You know, it's bad enough people getting hacked anyway and losing their IDs and losing their bank accounts and, you know, having their payments limited and all sorts of stuff that happens when there's these hackers, which of course are usually government planned folks to make it look that way. But now they want to put it all in one place. I mean, can you see any problem with this? You know, there's this thing about eggs in baskets, you know, don't keep all your eggs in one basket. Well, they're doing that with the digital IDs. And now it's come out that AI is able to identify people's fingerprints by listening to the swipe they do on their cell phone, because your cell phone is listening to you all the time. Apparently, when you swipe the screen on your cell phone to access something, the AI can actually take that sound and read what your fingerprints are from swiping the phone. That's pretty drastic stuff, folks. And you're saying hackers wouldn't get hold of this sort of stuff and they wouldn't be used against people? Of course it would, folks. Of course it would. But yeah, like I said, lots of people are succumbing to the jab. And I think this is what Disease X is going to be as well. You know, when they activate 5G and they activate certain payloads that are in people's bodies, then you're going to see some problems. And of course they're going to call it Disease X. There was talk as well that they might ride this on the back of the Olympics, which I think are in June or July or something like that, possibly in France, I'm not sure, I might have got that wrong. But I think the Olympics are this year, and I think it's in June or July. I mean, I don't watch the Olympics. It'd be interesting to see what the opening ceremony is, of course, but that's about all that I'm interested in watching, only for the esoteric meanings behind it. But they might even run this pandemic off the back of the Olympics. I mean, you could have sports stars all gather in one spot, and then you could have them go home, and you could, you know, of course, make sure they're vaxxed or they can't perform in the Olympics, and then go home and hit them with a 5G frequency, have it release certain payloads, have these people die, and then claim there is a pandemic that has been spread to multiple countries via the Olympic athletes. It wouldn't surprise me if that's the plan, folks. And of course, they'll be able to activate 5G, release these payloads, and get the result that they want. And we've seen this coming for a long time. A lot of reports coming out about how strange people are getting from the jab. There was one woman saying that the jab is actually changing people's DNA, which of course we know it is, but it's changing their seminal fluids, like changing sperm, changing ovary secretions, I don't know what it's called, but changing the productive juices of the humans so that when the two mix together, they create a new type of hybrid child, which would explain some of the black-eyed babies and things we were seeing at the start of this. And that if it's a pregnant woman gets the jab and the child isn't born yet, or the child's already been formed, then the child simply miscarries and has blood clots or whatever. But if you get two people who have both received the vaccine and then they have intercourse and they produce a child, then the seminal fluids of the two humans mix and create a hybrid child. Interesting concept.
De estas, no las podemos llamar vacunas, inoculaciones de este veneno. Antes de la concepción, es decir, la unión de óvulo y espermatozoide, en las parejas, cuando ya están los dos vacunados y en ese momento o después de ese momento deciden embarazarse, hemos estado viendo bebés que nacen con características totalmente distintas al ser humano normal. Se le ha llamado transhumanismo y todos tenemos videos de bebés que han nacido en estas circunstancias, en donde vemos que cambió su genoma. ¿Por qué? Porque es mutagénico la inoculación. Produce mutaciones en tu el sistema de genoma. Genoma es la secuencia total del ácido desoxirribonucleico, que son tus genes. Entonces cambiaron los genes. ¿Y qué vemos? Niños que nacen con sin conjuntiva, es decir, lo blanco del ojo, que a las 2 horas de nacido ya sostienen su cabeza, que a las 2 semanas de nacidos ya se ponen en pie, a los 2 meses ya caminan. Todo eso es totalmente anormal. Eso es en el caso de haber sido inoculados antes de la concepción. Cuando son inoculadas durante el embarazo, hemos visto un 6,000% más de abortos. ¿Por qué? Porque se producen coágulos. Este veneno produce coágulos dentro del sistema circulatorio. La placenta, el cordón umbilical son eminentemente órganos vasculares. Entonces, si se producen coágulos, obviamente el flujo de la sangre materna que nutre a través de la placenta y pasa a través del cordón umbilical hacia el bebé, pueden coagularse esas pequeñas raícitas, llamémoslo así, de la placenta que forman junto al útero, dentro del útero, en lo que se llama decidua. En ese momento ya no es endometrio, es decidua, cambia el nombre nada más. Pero si hay coágulos ahí, obviamente la cantidad de sangre que le llega al bebé disminuye. Y entonces tenemos bebés que fallecen, la gran mayoría, o que son hipotróficos, es decir, con muy bajo peso al nacer, dependiendo de su edad gestacional. Tenemos bebés de 39, 40 semanas, o sea, término, que nacen con 1.5 kilos de peso al nacer. Tenemos disminución del líquido amniótico, que es el medio ambiente que protege al bebé de cambios de temperatura, de golpes, etcétera. Disminución. No puede sobrevivir un feto con oligohidramnios, o sea, baja cantidad de líquido amniótico dentro del abdomen, del útero materno. tenemos muertes de las pacientes. Y obviamente con la muerte de la paciente, pues va a haber la muerte del bebé, del producto de la concepción. Entonces, yo estoy totalmente en contra de la inoculación de estas vacunas, mal llamadas vacunas, en toda la población, en toda, pero especialmente en pacientes embarazadas y en niños.
Yeah, interesting concept, and it wouldn't surprise me if that is actually happening, folks. I mean, some of the reports that I saw come out early on in the scamdemic, like in 2021 and stuff, showed these particularly interesting-looking trolls who didn't have any white in their eyes. They had fully black eyes. They were able to hold their heads up early, as she was saying, like a couple of weeks. They're holding their heads up, and 2 or 3 months, they're toddling. This is unheard of for human children, so it wouldn't surprise me if some of this is going on. A little bit of good news, Jacob Rothschild died today, 87 years old. So that's one down, probably a few thousand left to go. But that's one down anyway. The Rothschilds, of course, were responsible for the creation of the rogue, illegitimate terrorist state of Israel, with these fake Jews now rampaging across Gaza, doing incredible damage. They're now doing a ground assault on Rafah in Gaza, and I'm not going to focus the whole show on Gaza, folks, but I've got to give it a mention. Because, you know, Gaza is the most important situation we're facing today. As I've said many, many times, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. And when you've got a rogue nation live streaming a genocide in 4K and people are busy watching the World Cup, you know that the human race has completely lost its way. Completely. And if we don't deal with this, then it's coming for us, folks. If they're prepared to do this to the people of Gaza, then what are they prepared to do to us? And they've been systematically driving the people south through Gaza, through the Gaza Strip. They started bombing in the north, saying that was Hamas headquarters. Then they started bombing the next region, saying that was Hamas headquarters. Then Gaza City, saying that's Hamas headquarters. Then Khan Yunis, because that's really Hamas headquarters. And now they're bombing Rafah. And there are 1.5 million people, civilians, sheltering in Rafah during the line of fire from this attack that Israel is waging against them, claiming that they're after the last battalions of Hamas, when there are no battalions of Hamas, because there is no Hamas army. Gaza is a population of women and children. There is no Hamas army, but they've been gradually driving the people south into Rafah, and now they are attacking Rafah. And some of the reports that are coming out are absolutely horrendous, folks. There are reports of, like, the road they told them to go down, the corridor of safety. If you look at the map of bombings, you find that the corridor of safety is the most bombed area in all of Gaza. And some of the reports that are coming out of what they're doing to these people, you know, it's littered with bodies in various stages of decay, women, children, men. They're getting people, they're making them strip naked and crawl on their bellies through checkpoints, sometimes through pits of dead bodies. Sometimes they're shooting their children, making them leave the bodies on the side of the road. Just horrendous stuff, folks. Check this out.
This is the map published by The Guardian on the 30th of January, showing the extent of the destruction wreaked in Gaza by Israeli bombardment since the 7th of October last year. It's shocking enough in itself, but when you cross-reference it with other maps, you begin to get a sense of the way in which the conditions of life in Gaza have been systematically annihilated by Israeli forces. This is a map showing every residential building in Gaza before 7th of October. This is what was left as of the end of January, and of course the destruction continues across the territory, but particularly right now in Rafah. Here is a map of greenhouses in Gaza before the Israeli bombardment. Greenhouses are a lifeline for many Gazan families, providing greater and more secure access to healthy foods. This is what is left of those now. And of course, without a functioning water supply, even most of these have been rendered unusable. Also, in terms of food security, here are Gaza's warehouses before the Israeli carpet bombing, and what's left. This is a map of tree crops in Gaza before the destruction began, including fruit trees and olive trees, which have provided food for residents and been among Gaza's major exports. This is what currently remains undamaged. This map shows all private schools, Palestinian Authority schools, UNRWA schools, and universities running in Gaza before the 7th of October. And here are those that haven't yet been destroyed. None of these is, of course, currently able to function as such, in any case. Here is a map of major health facilities in Gaza before Israeli forces began to attack them, including prenatal facilities, mental health facilities, clinics and hospitals. And here is what remains. All of this destruction would take many decades to restore, although of course it seems unlikely that those who built and grew all that has been pulverized by the Israeli bombardment will even be allowed to return to do so. One prominent feature of this map emerges when you subtract the destruction caused to built-up areas, which have been more or less annihilated. Here you can see a line of destruction stretching down through the center of the territory. This particular swathe of bombardment aligns with the so-called humanitarian corridor announced by Israel along Salah al-Din Street in November last year. When residents of Gaza City in the north were ordered to evacuate, they were promised safe passage along this street. However, many witnesses have described Salah al-Din Street as a corridor of death and humiliation. Civilian convoys and vehicles have been repeatedly bombed and targeted, and testimonies from dozens of witnesses collected in Gaza by journalist Tarek Hajjaj describe Palestinians having been summarily executed and killed by Israeli snipers, including children, their parents ordered by their murderers to abandon their bodies by the side of the road. According to the testimonies, people were made to crawl on their bellies through checkpoints, forced to undress and descend into pits filled with dead bodies, sometimes to be shot, sometimes to be released, among many other horrors. The street is littered with the bodies of men, women, and children in various states of decomposition. There are millions of horror stories like these behind these simple red swatches, which delineate the annihilation of a people.
Yeah, that's what they're doing, folks. And that's the thing with Israelis. Israelis thrive on terrorism, torture, abuse. They don't just like to kill people. They like to torture them as they kill them. They thrive on the torture and deprivation and humiliation of all non-Jews. Which is interesting because there are no such thing as a Jew anyway. It's an invented race. And their concept that they own Gaza or own Israel is completely and utterly false. As I pointed out before, modern-day Israelis have nothing to do with the Israelites of the Bible. They are not indigenous to the region. And as far as I'm concerned, they're just not human, folks. These people are not human. Israel is, in fact, the worst terrorist state that has ever existed in the history of the world. And it is populated by the most psychopathic, degenerate fuckheads history has ever spawned. As I said before, folks, if any Israelis ever come to my bar, they will not be receiving service. And if they don't leave, then they'll be getting thrown down the stairs. Disgraceful people, folks, absolutely disgraceful. Guess we can't walk through here. They've got a bit of a hose going, bit of a fountain happening. This is where the conference was held. As I said, it was a great conference this year, folks. It really was a good conference. Someone else who died, actually, folks, that I'd like to mention is a friend of mine, which is very sad to see. I mean, I didn't know him that well. I'd met him a few times. He'd come to some of the rallies and we'd chatted back and forth on Instagram and other places. But an Australian guy called Danny Searle, who was a good person. He was very outspoken. He was doing what he could to wake people up. Apparently, he had a health issue. He'd been fighting a long battle with illness for a long time. And he died the other day, which is quite sad. So I'd like to put out my condolences to any friends of Danny's and his family and people who knew him. I'm sure he will be sorely missed. I wish I got to know him a little bit better. It's always the way. But yeah, that's a great loss, folks. It's always a loss when someone of good character leaves the realm. But what do they say? You know, only the good die young. Perhaps he's better off where he is, so he's not here to see what they're about to do. They really are going to take things to the next level this year, I think, folks. It's going to get pretty crazy. As I said, you'll probably see some sort of a new scamdemic come off the back of the Olympic Games. It wouldn't surprise me if that's where they intend to do it. And admittedly, there has been a lot of pushback. There still is. I mean, the farmer protests are really going hard everywhere. Farmer protests in Spain, in France, Belgium as well. They've really got the idea in Belgium. They're actually protesting in Belgium and they're heading for the EU headquarters and they're putting their demands directly to the heads of the EU, and that's a good thing. yeah, good to see that sort of thing happening, folks. At least they've got sort of focus. They're not trashing their own government buildings. Like I said, when you go and trash these government buildings, you're trashing your own buildings, your own society. You really should be going and doing that treatment to the politicians' homes, their private homes. There's no good going and piling garbage and manure and burning tyres and things around government buildings, especially if there's nobody inside. Better off going to the politicians' homes and doing it there and letting them know that we know where they are, we know who they are, and that we're coming for them. Thank you also to people who have donated to my friend Nidal's fundraiser in Gaza. We're about a little bit over halfway there. If you can't afford anything for Nidal, it would be greatly appreciated. He's trapped in Rafah with his little two-year-old daughter. He'd like to get out. It's very difficult for him to get out. There are ways to evacuate, though, but it does cost a lot of money to do, and it costs you like $5,000 just to cross the border, because the Egyptian guards, that's just what they do, folks. It doesn't matter if you've got a border pass or anything like that. If you want to get out, they just say, well, you've got to pay up or we're not going to let you. That's just the way it works. And the Egyptian border has been completely fortified. The Israelis are saying, well, look, this just shows that Egypt doesn't want any Palestinians coming into Egypt. Well, no, it's because Israel controls the Egyptian border. People would think they don't, but they do, folks. I've been there. They've got big RVs with 50 cal machine guns there on the border, and it's all run by Israel, the whole thing. We had to go through like five or six checkpoints on the way back to the Sinai, or way back to Egypt. When I went to Gaza in 2012, we had to go through at least five checkpoints. They were all controlled by Israelis. So, and the first thing I wanted to know was, have you been to Gaza? Have you been to Palestine? I said, no, we just spent a day at the beach at El Arish, you know. And now they're going, you went to El Arish for the day to go to the beach? We're going, well, yeah, we did, you know. We kind of convinced them that it was true, and they let us go. But all of the checkpoints are controlled by Israel, folks. Israel controls every aspect of what happens in Gaza. And all of the stories that they're spreading, there's so many stories still. This little parasite on Twitter, Elon Levi, this is a lying little maggot, is still saying that Hamas came in and they burnt families alive and they chopped off heads and they raped and pillaged and plundered, and most of the hostages that have come back from Gaza have had to have abortions from being pregnant, from being raped so many times. All complete and utter bullshit. This guy, Elon Levi, is one of the biggest, most prolific, lying little fuckheads that the world has ever spawned, folks. And I hope I can get to London one day and bump into the guy just so I can knock his teeth out of his mouth. Would be a wonderful thing to do and definitely needed. He certainly has the most punchable face I've ever seen. And yeah, folks, I do get angry at all this stuff. And, you know, I do have a human response to all this stuff. It's just graceful seeing what's going on in the world. And like I said, folks, this is the plan they have for everybody else. You know, once they get you into this smart grid, you know, if you don't have your digital ID, you don't have your electric car, you're trying to think for yourself, you're trying to share vegetables with your neighbours or anything like that, what do you think the police are going to do to you? What do you think the government's going to do to you? These invalid morons that we have as government, what do you think they're going to do to you? And they're going to keep doing it until people band together and stand up against these parasites. You know, government is racketeering in its most purest form, folks. It takes everything pure, everything good, everything creative, and it steals it and makes it its own. Now, you have all these companies doing these things, like people who build the roads, private companies. People who build buildings, private companies. All these things are done by private companies, bridge building, all this sort of stuff. People say, well, what would we do without government? We'd have no infrastructure. Yes, you would. It's all done by private companies. But then the government comes along and says, okay, you're doing this, so now you've got to give us a cut. And everybody who uses it has got to give us a cut. And by the way, make it so it doesn't last, so you can keep rebuilding it and give us a cut every time you do it. And if you don't, well, bad things may happen to you. It's protection money. Taxes are protection money. Government is racketeering. And like I said, they've all invalidated themselves. They've invalidated themselves through this COVID scam. They've invalidated themselves through the genocide of Gaza. They've invalidated themselves in so many ways. And the only reason they still get away with what they're doing is because people are too scared to call it. Admittedly, there's a lot of brainwashed people out there. Still got a lot of climate protesters and all this sort of crap. It blows me out, the climate protesters. It's just incredible. And the ridiculous way they do things. You'll have climate protesters blockade a road and keep cars on that road parked there with their motors idling, producing all sorts of dangerous fumes. When they just had to go a short journey, they'll keep them sitting there polluting the atmosphere for hours and hours on end, claiming that they're doing it to stop climate change. It's remarkable. Stupid people, folks. Really, really stupid people. And we could have such a good world if we were to take this opportunity to declare our freedom. That's what's so frustrating about it. Now get back to what we once had, folks. You know, free energy devices and buildings producing energy and all sorts of stuff. There's actually video footage I saw of a building in Myanmar that seems to be producing free energy. Interesting looking video. How true it is, I don't know. It could just be some graphic effect that someone's put on a video, or it could actually be true. Because that's what the buildings used to do. They used to produce energy. They used to harvest energy from the ether. Because this is an electrical universe. Everything is made of energy. Energy is all around us. Now, people who look into Nikola Tesla and stuff, Tesla said that we're surrounded by energy. It's just that people don't know the frequency to tap into it. When he made Tesla coils as receivers, they simply tapped into the etheric field around them. That's where they get their energy from. That's where we get our energy from. I even question whether we need to eat, whether we've been trained to eat the stuff that we eat when we could actually be living off etheric energy. A lot of the old buildings, like the really old buildings, didn't have toilets. These huge mansions that didn't have toilets. Why would that be? And there's all sorts of talk about how near the end of the 1800s, they call it the big stink, when people started shitting everywhere and there were toilets everywhere and, you know, all this sewage everywhere. It didn't seem to have been much before that. So I've got to question all of this stuff, folks. We lived in such a different world to the one we're living in now. And we have an opportunity to get back to that, but not until people believe in themselves a little bit and strive to be all they can be. Just step back and take the blinkers off. I mean, looking at this system, how could you trust any of it? It's remarkable. But people have been so locked into it, they just don't know anything else. All they know is the system, and they don't know how they would ever survive without the system. And all the system has done is remove everything human from them. Remove all their life skills. As I said back in 2008, you know, one of the most important things you could do at this time is to connect with the people in your community so the whole community can stand up together as one and to get back in touch with your life skills. As I've said before, all the conveniences they give us, all the cell phone conveniences and all the little gadgets that you have for your home and your kitchen and all this sort of stuff, all the pre-prepared food, all of it, all of these conveniences, every convenience is a skill lost. And that's what they've done to us. People are so dependent upon the system, they can't imagine what they would do how they would do anything. Most modern women wouldn't have a clue how to bake a cake without a cake mix. You know, it's crazy. People don't even know how to plant a seed anymore. People don't know how to do anything. You've got people who've got personal assistants on their cell phones who are AI versions of themselves, who monitor their activity and monitor their chats and monitor all the stuff they do. And then when they don't know how to make a decision, they ask the AI version of themselves, and that AI version makes a decision for them. You know, what are they going to do without their cell phones when the power goes down or the grid goes down? What are they going to do when they're cut off from the system? What happens when it's all smart and everything's all on one ID and all this sort of stuff, and they just shut it down? People won't know how to do anything. People won't know how to do the most basic things. I mean, they don't already. It's remarkable, folks, where they're leading us. And it's still the most important thing to do, get in touch with your life skills. Remember what it means to be a human being, folks. Get out of this system and stop obeying the dictates of your politicians. It's incredibly important that people start calling this out for what it is. And for all those people out there who are calling it out, good on you for doing so. I mean, don't be afraid of doing so. Don't be afraid of whatever might happen to you, really. Just get the message out and just realize that this is a soul test. This is a soul harvest. I mean, the mind, control of your mind and controlling what you think and controlling your belief in yourself, that's the battleground, the mind. But the soul, that is the ultimate goal. That is the ultimate prize for these people. They want your soul. And every time you comply with something that you know is wrong, every time you give a little bit more of your rights away, give a little bit more of yourself away, you give a little bit more of your soul away. And eventually, you know, people are just left stuck there walking between the lines and doing what they're told, experiencing no life at all except what they're allowed to experience, and still thinking that is a life. You know, they're prepared to give away everything it means to be free, everything it means to be human, just to be allowed to walk between the lines and stay a little longer in the prison. It's remarkable, really. It's remarkable when you really step back and look at it and put it on a world stage, folks. It's remarkable just how much people have given themselves away, how much they've allowed themselves to be controlled. It's incredible, folks. It's absolutely incredible. We're at a really pivotal time in history, folks. We're at a really, really pivotal time in history. So many people have tried to warn us about it. So many people have, for the last 100 years, over 100 years, people have tried to warn us about this shit. You know, and as I've said, Palestine is one of the keys to the whole thing. You know, this whole situation has erupted in the last 150 years, has been about Palestine. When the color revolutions and things started in 1848, and then led into World War I, the color revolutions led into sort of different uprisings and different treaties being formed with different nations, such as between Austria and Germany and stuff like that, and which led into World War I. World War I was all about securing Palestine for the Jews and the Balfour Declaration and all that sort of stuff. England reneged on the deal and basically stole half of Germany and gave it to Czechoslovakia and other countries. You know, the Treaty of Versailles, which was just so foul, unbelievable. That's why I played that little speech by Hitler on the last show, when it basically showed what they were doing to Palestine back then and why he went into Czechoslovakia, because it was basically Germany. They just moved the border, and hundreds, thousands of German people were being ethnically cleansed in Czechoslovakia, and Hitler was saying, well, no, these are Germans, and that's actually Germany, so they're not like the people of Palestine. They're not helpless, and we're going to go in and help them. But I thought it was interesting that he was actually mentioning Palestine on that little clip. I think that's why my video was censored on Rumble. And no, folks, I'm not turning into a neo-Nazi white supremacist or anything like that. I don't agree with Hitler. I think Hitler was a politician. I don't like any politicians, including Hitler. But by the same token, I don't think that he was responsible for most of the stuff they attributed to him. Like, I do not at all buy into the Jewish Holocaust narrative. The real Holocaust of World War II was run Wiesenlager, when somewhere between 1.5 and 11 million Germans were killed in a matter of a week or two in the Rhine Valley. You know, if there was a Holocaust of Jews in World War II, that's how it would have been done. They just would have rounded them up, put them in a camp and left them there to die. They wouldn't have freighted them on trains and given them little numbers and then gassed them and then burned their bodies in furnaces and all the shit we're told, which is impossible for the story to be true with the narrative we're given. But they would have just put them in fields and let them die. which is what Eisenhower did to the German people after the war. He called them enemy combatants and he put them all in big enclosures and just left them to die. All of these people should have gone home to their families. The war was over. But they did this anyway, folks. And the fact that we don't hear about this, the fact that people don't hear about Bolshevism, which is where all the Jews of Germany came from. They were chased out of Russia. And they all got given a home in Germany. And it wasn't until they backstabbed the German people by getting the United States involved in World War I, when it had already virtually finished, and everyone was just going to go home and shake and make up. No, 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 don't do that. We'll get the Americans involved, and they'll defeat Germany, and then we'll get to steal half the country. All you have to do is give us Palestine. And that's kind of what happened, you know. That's why Hitler was so dark on them, because of what they'd done. They'd backstabbed them after they'd been given a home. But the Bolsheviks are who runs Israel now. And the fact that people don't know anything about the Bolshevik Revolution, they don't know anything about Rhein-Wiesenlager, shows who is in control of the world still. Actually, a really good interview that I saw the other day, and I don't normally watch Alex Jones, but I watched Alex Jones interviewing Father Nathaniel, and it was an eye-opening interview. Like, Nathaniel basically wiped the floor with Alex Jones. And you can't argue with the guy because he's a Jew who converted to Christianity. So, you know, he knows what he's talking about. Whether you like the guy or not, I mean, looks a little funny with his hair sticking out and the little Christian cap and all the stuff that he wears. But he's a very intelligent guy, and he really does have a good grasp on what's going on with the Jewish problem in the world. And he has no qualms in talking about it, and he's several steps ahead of many people. So someone that I would recommend that you look at, and go check out that interview with Alex Jones and Father Nathaniel. It was an eye-opener, folks. He kind of nailed it. Alex was kind of freaking out a little bit, but yeah, I'm trying to remain neutral and all the sort of stuff that he's done. And look, I've done the same thing. I've often said that you can't blame all the Jews, and really you can't, because there's Jews that don't even consider themselves Jews, like Andy Kaufman, Dr. Andrew Kaufman, who was here for the conference. I mean, I said to him, you know, you're a Jew, what do you think about all this? He said, well, I'm a Jew because my mother told me I'm a Jew, because she was a Jew, so that's as far as I know about it. I said, but why do you still identify as a Jew if it's just a religion, it's not a race? And he just goes, look, I don't identify as a Jew, I'm just an American, but my mother told me I was a Jew. But he doesn't participate in any of that shit. I mean, so there are people like that. There are people that don't participate, but, you know, it's Israelis, it's people who support the state of Israel that is a problem. These are more Zionist Jews, because, you know, that's what they do. That's what Zionism really is. It's the belief that Palestine should be Israel. And we shouldn't even be calling it Israel. Let's stop calling that land Israel. Let's call it occupied Palestine, because that's what it is. And there is no IDF, the Israeli Defense Force. It's the Israeli Occupation Force, the IOF. The IOF in occupied Palestine. That's all Israel is, folks. As I said before, I mean, Israel was the name that was given to Jacob after he decided to be a good person. And an Israelite was someone who thought the same way Jacob did. Didn't change his DNA, didn't turn him into a race of people. Now, Jacob's father, I think, Isaac, his father was Abraham, and Abraham was a Babylonian. So how are any of these people Jews? As I pointed out before, the word Jew didn't even appear in the Bible until the King James translation. You can just look at the work of Dr. Lorraine Day, and she talks all about that. I had one of her videos on as an intro a couple of months back. And the word Gentile, as translated by King James, actually translated from nations. So an Israelite was someone who worshipped the one true God, where a Gentile was someone who worshipped the nations. Interesting. The nations, as I've said before, you're going by the law of parasites. The people who run your country, what they write on paper is not law. It's designed to remove law from existence. It may be the colour of law, but it is an actual law, because there's only one law if you look at God's law, and that is do no harm. That is the only law. And all they do is cause harm through their legislation. And if you put that legislation above God's law, then I guess that makes you someone who worships the nation rather than God, which means you are a Gentile. Interesting how that works. But, you know, the word Gentile has been construed as being a race. Anything that's non-Jew is a Gentile, because Jews worship the one true God. according to what a Jew is supposed to be, when there isn't even really any such thing as a Jew. Now, Jews are those who come from Judea, but there are 12 tribes of Israel. Judea is only one of them, and they're saying all 12 tribes are Jews. So how does this work, you know? But someone who followed the teachings of the Judeans, it's because Jesus came from Judea, and so if you were a Judite or a Judahite, then you followed the teachings of Jesus. If you're an Israelite, then you followed the one true God, which is again the teachings of Jesus. And that's what all that was meant to be, but they changed it. The people who populate Israel today are not Israelites. They do not worship the one true God. These are genocidal maniacs for the most part, sexually perverse, emotionally perverse, some of the cruelest, most toxic people nature has ever spawned. If there's a God they worship, it's Satan. As was even said in the Bible when Jesus said, those who claim they are Jews but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. So, you know, it's all one big sordid thing, folks. But there's an opportunity now for us to identify this as what it is. And by naming things what they are, like I said, it's not Israel. It isn't the state of Israel. Israel was never supposed to be a state. Israel was a man, and being an Israelite is actually a mindset. It's not a race. Being a Gentile is a mindset and not a race. An Israelite follows the one true God. A Gentile follows the rule of the nation. There's a lot to be said in that, folks. And as I've said, I mean, the word Jew and Gentile don't even really exist in the original versions of the Bible. They are inserted by King James. Which is why when people have always said, oh, I need to look at the King James version of the Bible, I mean, fuck the king. Why am I going to be interested in the king's book? The king's a fucking idiot because he thinks he's a king for a start. And what, he's going to give me a book of religion and tell me this is the true version? Fuck the king. Yeah. But what an opportunity we got here, folks. Really, what an opportunity for freedom we've got if people would just wake up to themselves. And I guess maybe the more dystopia things get, maybe the more they will wake up to themselves. Although I've got to wonder. A lot of people seem to just be going along with it. I mean, 96,000 people went to the Taylor Swift concert. How is this normal? Three concerts or something, 96,000 people, and then they evacuate them because there was a lightning strike 10 kilometres away, and people actually went for it and left. Remarkable, folks, absolutely remarkable. Be a pretty short video today. I don't have a lot to talk about. The Croatian tour is coming up as well. I do have some dates that I'll put up on the screen here for you of towns that I'll be in. These may be subject to change yet, but that's the plan. It looks like it's a pretty grueling sort of a tour I've got going on in Croatia. It looks like 7 or 8 or possibly even 10 venues over the period of a month, ranging from Zagreb down to Rijeka, down to Split, possibly over even into Serbia and Bosnia. So that's going to be interesting, and that's starting on, I believe, the 10th of April. I'll be starting my first speaking date in Croatia. So I look forward to seeing people for that. I've actually received a lot of email from people wanting to know what the dates are. Well, that's going to be the dates, folks. So, yeah. And the forums on my website as well are still down, folks. I'm sorry. We cannot locate Adam, the guy who runs the forums. As I mentioned on the last video, his emails are just bouncing back. Adam, we're quite concerned about you, mate. If you are watching this video, even if you just don't want to run the forums anymore or whatever, it would be great if you could just send us an email and let us know that you're okay. It's a great concern when someone goes missing, especially someone that's been kind of doing this for so long. He's been running the forums ever since they started. I mean, he is the one who opened the forums for me. That was a few years ago. And there's some great stuff on the forums, and I'm getting a lot of email from people saying we still can't access your forums. That's bad enough, but the fact that Adam is missing in action is also very, very concerning. So please do email us, brother, if you can possibly do so. It would be great to hear from you. But yeah, I think that's about all I want to say today, folks. I'm just trying to keep these videos a little shorter than they normally have been. And I've got a lot of stuff on. I'm going to be going away next weekend for a couple of days, just locally, to check a few things out. So you won't get a video from me next week, and I'll try to do one maybe on Thursday. I'll see if I can get another one out for you. Depends on what happens between now and then. But if not, then it's going to be probably Monday before you get another one. I think it's Monday today as well. So I wanted to try to do them more than a week apart, but the world's just kind of remaining in a state of stasis at the moment. I mean, there's not really a lot going on, little bits and pieces. But it's just the same agenda kind of moving forward. I am expecting things to go a little crazy in March, though. That's one of the reasons I didn't want to travel in March. I was actually going to go to Croatia this month, like in a few days, like in like next week, like 7th of March, I think I was going to go to Croatia. And I put that back for a month because I just didn't feel comfortable travelling in March. So I put that back to April. So it'll be interesting to see if anything does happen during March. It's feeling a little weird. It's kind of like the calm before the storm, you know? That's what it feels like to me, anyway. Just have to see what happens, folks. See what happens. But yeah, I don't think I've got too much more to talk about. I just want people to see the opportunity we have here for self-empowerment through this. You know, everything's going so crazy. They're locking so many things down in so many ways that, I mean, if you don't step into what it means to be human and step into yourself and just start doing things as you should do them and as you want to do them, then where are we going to end up? You know, if we keep doing what this nanny state tells us to do, where are we going to end up, folks? It's just going to be nuts. And the more they expose themselves, the more they genocide Gaza, the more they start banning things, like banning the repair on cars 15 years old. See, a good reason why you need to learn life skills, folks. If we all had mechanic skills, it wouldn't matter if they banned any repairing of cars that are over 15 years old. We could just repair them ourselves. Fuck the government. Just do what we want to do. As long as we're not harming anything, how is it a problem? And if the government's coming along to harm us because we're doing something for ourselves, well, then the government is causing harm, so it is them who's breaking the law. It's pretty simple, but people just can't see it. They can't see the forest for the trees. It's remarkable, folks. It really is remarkable how much these people are able to get away with. Look how well this place is coming along, folks. Admittedly, not a lot of big trees and things. Still a lot of roofs down and stuff in town. A lot of palapas not being put back up because there's no leaves to build the palapas, which is sort of interesting. A lot of the palm trees got sort of blown down and blown away and all the leaves blown off them. So there's not a lot of palm fronds to build palapas. So it's kind of crazy, folks. It's sort of really weird. But this is coming along really well. It's really greening up. Everything's growing fantastically. And things are just sort of coming back to normal. Big piles of rubbish still around the place. Old palapas and palm leaves and stuff like that. But it's still really coming back and it's really good to see. But yeah, I guess, you know, I mean, all through these videos, everything that I've done over the last 17 years since starting this quest to try to wake the world up, or stepping onto the front line of the quest anyway, I mean, I've been trying to wake the world up since high school. But with everything that's coming and everything I've done, the main message through the whole thing has been self-empowerment. Trying to encourage people to ask questions, trying to encourage people to rediscover themselves. And so many people write to me and say, wow, some of the stuff you're saying, it's like I already knew it. And I'm saying, yeah, well, yeah, that's the point. You did already know it. I'm just trying to help you remember. That's why I encourage people to ask questions rather than just spewing facts at them. I'm a firm believer that the truth cannot be told. The truth must be realized. So what you've got to do is encourage people to ask the right questions. They're going to lead to the right answers. That's how they're going to find out what's going on. You've got to lead people to that point where they have their own epiphany. And I think that that's what could happen this year. So many people are getting it. So many people are waking up. So many people are seeing the scam for what it is. Even people who didn't want to see are now seeing. I mean, so many people are dying from the jab. All the nanotech and all the shit that they put in there. Like I said, which is now combining to, it seems to be combining to create hybrid babies. I mean, that's a bizarre kind of array that that woman was laying on us. But I mean, I don't doubt that it's true. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if it's true anyway. I'm certainly not prepared to just dismiss it offhand. There's too much weirdness that's been going on. And you can see where they could probably take this for their next scamdemic, which I will suggest will happen later in the year. Like I said, possibly off the back of the Olympic Games, wherever they're being held. I'll have to look that one up. Like I said, I don't really follow the Olympics, so I can't give you the finer details on it. But yeah, that's all I'm going to give you today, folks. Let you know I'm alive. Try to empower you into standing up for yourself and believing in yourself. Just find what you want to do in the world and just do it, folks. You know, so many people want to do so many things and they say, oh, I can't because there's all these things stopping me. And really, they're generally just obstacles they're putting in their own way. You know, if you sit down and say, well, what is it you want to do most? And what is it that you think is stopping you from doing that? And write it all down, you'll find that it's yourself that's stopping you doing that. You actually could just go and do it, but people just don't want to, is the problem. They're scared to. They're scared of being empowered. They're scared of taking responsibility for themselves. It's interesting looking ball, isn't it, folks? Interesting looking thing with little five-pointed stars all over it. See some interesting stuff sitting around here. Some of these sculptures. Old cabana over there. This is one of the bars they had set up for the meeting the other day for the conference. They had all these meals and all sorts of stuff out here. A little string of shells here, folks. It's interesting stuff in this place, really interesting stuff. I love coming here and doing my walk and talks, I really do. It's a great space. And it's starting to come along, it's starting to come back to normal, folks. So the secret garden is a perennial thing, and I think it will always be here. You can't knock us down. It will always remain. And whatever they do to try to destroy it, it just seems to get better when they do it. So yeah, I mean, sure, we lost a few trees, you lost a bit of stuff, but it's all coming back to normal. Anyway, yeah, folks, just believe in yourself. I mean, what an incredible opportunity this is. I mean, imagine when the system breaks down, you know, with everything that's happening. I mean, this should have really taught people to not be dependent upon the system. It should help people understand that the only thing constant in the world is change. That's the only thing that remains consistent. And you never know what that change is going to be, which again is why you need to walk the path of the warrior. To be able to face with serenity odds and circumstances that are not included in your calculations and simply step onto that path. And if you've got the life skills to do it, you're going to be fine. With all the stuff they're doing, like banning the repair of cars and all this sort of shit, I think it's a good idea to go and do a mechanics course, folks. I really do. And get old cars. Find old vintage cars that don't need all this electronic bullshit. You know, old cars with old motors and stuff that's just mechanical, not digital. That's what you need, folks. But anyway, like I said, I'll leave it there for now. I know I say that a lot, but then I just want to inspire people. I just want to empower people. If people were just inspired and empowered and empowered to walk away from the system, empowered enough to believe in themselves and just take responsibility for their own lives, I mean, we could change everything. We could change the world in a day. I've said it so many times. And I can't move away from that, because it's the key to everything. And it's what I've been pushing for the last 17 years on these shows. And, you know, as much as we've failed in so many ways, like I said, if people are watching this genocide in 4K and they're more concerned about the World Cup, well, it shows how far we've fallen. But even with that, even with 96,000 people buying tickets for a Taylor Swift concert, I still have an enormous amount of faith in the human race. And I think most of the people that are doing all this shit aren't even really people. They're just avatars walking around. They're already in the mainframe. They're already lost. They're already gone. Half of them probably aren't even people anyway. Look, the people we see on TV, I don't think half of these people are actually people. I think half the people we see on TV are just robots, folks. I really do. Yeah, what's that all about? You know, there's been so much stuff coming out about these masks, and we've seen Biden in masks, and whoever that is playing Biden. I've seen Trump in a mask, or a robot that looks like Trump anyway.
Trump T-1000.
Yeah, I mean, how do you know any of the people we see on TV are actually real? How do we know any of the stuff they tell us is happening is actually real? I mean, there's a lot of people saying what's going on in Gaza is fake. Well, that's not fake, folks. That is a real genocide that is being waged against these people. People that are saying it's fake and it's all theatre and it's all acting and they're rubber babies, these people either work for Israel or they work for Israel and they just don't know it. But what's going on, the genocide is real. The genocide in all of our countries is real. It's happening not just with what they're doing in Gaza, it's happening with the jab through lots of countries, through homelessness, through fentanyl. You know, what's going on in the streets in the United States is just incredible. The United States is almost unrecognizable from what it was 4 or 5 years ago. Genocide takes different forms in different countries, and they lead it to a point where it goes sort of over the brink, and then they've got to bring in police to protect people, when really they're not protecting people, they're just continuing the genocide. So, you know, we're at a really pivotal time, folks, and it's a time for people to just shrug it all off, take a deep breath, look in the mirror, and realize that you are a human being. You have complete autonomy over yourself and your decisions and your actions and your life if you choose to step into that. That's what I like about here in Mexico, folks. You can just do what you want to do and step into it. If people push you, well, you push back. And the whole world needs to do this. We've got to get rid of these parasites running the world into the ground. Any politician who's supporting the World Economic Forum, they're all in treason, they're all in abuse of office, breach of trust, everything else you can think of. They're all criminals. They're all criminals by giving away their power to a foreign corporate power, such as the World Economic Forum. They're criminals for running the COVID scandemic the way they have, and they're criminals for supporting the genocide of the people of Palestine. So you owe these people no obedience, no respect. They have no authority. They've invalidated themselves in every way possible for them to do so. Now's the time for the world to rise up. And to rise up, all you have to do is get back involved with your own life. Like I said, look in the mirror and realize that you are a human being. You have full autonomy over your own life. Step into that. Be the best version of yourself you possibly can. Lead by example in everything you do. Improve your life and improve the lives of people around you. And we'll make a difference. We could change the world in a day. We literally could. I know I harp on with it, but, you know, I harp onto it because it's important. It's really important, folks. Bit of a brass band going on over there. Interesting. But anyway, folks, I'll leave it there for now. Thank you to anybody who's ever sent me a kind email. I've got a few interview requests. I've responded to some of them. If you have an interview request, please do send it to me. I've, you know, probably got your request buried in my email somewhere. But please do resend me that request. Thank you to anybody who's ever sent me a kind email. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. I really actually could use some contributions this month, folks, if you're able to. It would be great. It's been a very tight month. And, yeah, I'm very short at the moment, but that's just the way life goes. And, no, I'm not spending thousands of dollars on this bar, folks. I mean, the bar isn't actually making any money at the moment. The bar is just doing what it does. And, like I said, there's four people running it with me. So it's doing it. We're doing it for a minimum of cost. And it kind of paid for itself over that Anarcapulco week, but that doesn't mean it's making money. It's not making any money, so don't think that I'm sitting pretty with my own bar or anything like that. It doesn't work that way. But yeah, if you could make a contribution, I would greatly appreciate it. And thank you to anybody who ever has. You know, you people are what's kept this message going for so many years, and I don't intend on going anywhere, folks. I'm going to keep this message going until the wheels fall off or until we change the world. And I think this year, we even have the potential to do that. I really do. There's been so much of an awakening. Maybe not awakening, but awareness. There's been a lot of awareness of the corruption. You wouldn't be seeing all these truckers' protests and all these farmers' protests and so many protests. I mean, of course, they're kind of distracted for, you know, the pro-Hamas rallies, which aren't pro-Hamas rallies, they're anti-genocide rallies. You know, all the things they do. It's just, of course, why they filled the world full of migrants. You notice they filled the world full of migrants, brown people, before they started the genocide of Gaza. So that there would be all these Arab people protesting in your country. They'd be able to paint it as pro-Hamas rallies and invaders taking over your country. And everyone would be distracted by what's going on in their own country. So they won't notice what's going on to the Palestinian people. And the Palestinian people are not like any of these migrants. These are beautiful, gentle people, folks, who do not deserve what is happening to them. It is the most important and the most profound moral dilemma we face in the world today. And as I've said many times, if we do not heal it, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world, and we are seeing that unfold this year. So it's time we stood up. It's time we stood up and reclaimed our sovereignty, reclaimed ourselves is really all you got to do. Like I said, folks, look in the mirror and realize that you are fully autonomic. You have total autonomy over your own body, your own decisions, and your own life. You don't need parasites to tell you that you've got to eat bugs and mealworms and insects and push all this climate bullshit on you and all the shit they're doing. Time to call it out, folks. And again, a lot of people won't, but it doesn't take a majority of humanity to reclaim the world. It just takes those who are aware of the reality of the situation to stand up and call it and do the right thing. And we can do it without violence. They may get violent with us, in which case we may need to resort to counter-violence, but we don't need to instigate any violence at all. All we need to do is remember who and what we are and stand in that and be the best version of ourselves we can be, and we will change the world. It's really that simple. But anyway, I'm babbling, folks, so I'll leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on this report. It's always a pleasure to have your company, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.
My name is Jonna Mendez, and I was chief of disguise at the CIA. One of the things that was going on when I was chief of disguise was an enormous research program into the new advanced disguise system. It was basically the masks that everybody always wondered if we used masks, and this was the beginning. This is a series of photographs of when I met George H.W. Bush in the Oval Office and revealed to him that I was briefing him wearing a mask.
Now, in particular, and regarding this photograph, it is a Getty's Image photograph. If you go to the link, you can see the photographer, all those kinds of details, who took it. So what is the anomaly with this particular photograph?
Any people paid by the CIA who are working for television networks?
This, I think, gets into the kind of getting into the details, Mr. Chairman, that I'd like to get into in executive session.
It was a big challenge to come up with something that finally actually animated and worked to really fool a person, but we did.
They learned the art.
We actually brought Hollywood back into our labs at one point to look at what we had done, and they were stunned. They're absolutely stunned.
Congratulations.
My husband was Tony Mendez, and he was played by Ben Affleck in the movie called Argo.
Aliens and robots?
Yes, sir.
You're telling me that there is a movie company in Hollywood right now that is funded by the CIA?
Yes, sir.
Are there many actors in Hollywood who also moonlight as agents, do you think?
I think there are probably quite a few, yes. I think probably Hollywood is full of CIA agents, and we just don't know it. And I wouldn't be surprised at all to discover that, you know, this was extremely common.
Tony, they didn't mention it in the movie, but Tony had deep connections to Hollywood, to the tradespeople out in L.A. that did a lot of things we were interested in doing. Special effects people, makeup people. Tony was chief of disguise 10 years before I was chief of disguise. And so he passed on some of his expertise to me. But he had a particular interest in the magic industry out in L.A. Not so much the magicians on the stage, but the people that were working behind the scenes to make that magic happen. So we went to LA and we posed some questions to them. We said, we have a problem. We're looking for novel solutions. Well, LA did have some ideas, of course. That's what they do for a living. They introduced us to a new concept. They said, what you are calling an operation, we call a performance. That's what we do. We put on performances. And before we start working on that performance, we have to define the stage that the performance is going to take place on. Then you have to know who your audience is. Who are you playing to? Who are you trying to fool? Once you assemble those two pieces, you can pretty much choose the time and choose the place and simply overwhelm them with your performance. Then they showed us some tools that they used. The one that really caught our eye is what's called a stunt double mask. You all know how they're used. When the movie star is so famous or so good looking that they can't risk damaging him, we liked the idea of stunt double masks. They're quick on, they're quick off. They dramatically change your appearance. And we started using them and found them to be valuable to our operations. But that audience piece of it did not allow you to get close enough to one of those masks before the illusion fell apart and you saw it was a mask. So we went back to our disguise labs out at Langley, and we invented a whole new genre of masks. Masks that are so good, that are so realistic, that you can actually get up close and have a personal contact with someone for an extended period of time. They're good enough that you can brief the President of the United States in the Oval Office wearing a mask. And he isn't sure if it's you or if it's someone else. Those masks were the beginning of a whole new generation of work that we did at the CIA. Once we could make these masks that fit you so well, then we discovered we could make a twin. We could make another you. There could be two of you. We could actually make five or six of you, but usually one extra was all we needed.
We will respond accordingly.
God bless you all, and may God protect our troops.
But that's only the tip of the iceberg. As longtime CIA lawyer John Rizzo tells it, the relationship between the spy agency and La La Land is quite cozy. In his new book, Company Men, Rizzo says that actors, producers, and other movie-making power players were always happy to help out the CIA in any way they could.
You work for the very enemy you thought you were fighting.
It's impossible.
Then tell me why you've never been to Langley. You've been lied to. All lower-level agents have been lied to. But I am trying to help you here.
So you're saying I'm working for the enemy? And that you are the enemy?
Sydney, this is your last chance.